News and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
It's time for Tell It to Stanya.
It's all about you. Ooh. Let's peel away the layers and focus on you. What's going on inside? Let's talk about love and truth and the matter of who we are. Let's find out together on Tell It to Stanya.
The following is a paid political message.
For you.
See everybody in Kalani.
Change is here.
Hey!
Hands in the air.
Hey,
see everybody in Kalani. Vote for Madiba. She is a fighter.
That was a paid political message.
Pleasant good afternoon. Pleasant good afternoon, everyone. Tell It to Stanya here. That's right. I am she and she is me. Boy, listen, I was dancing just now. That's an odd, but that, man, that sounds like something that could play at a party, I just saying. Now, I know I've been gone for a little while because we had the Easter holiday. Then before that, Brittany's in here. Then we had, then I was by CIBC. What happened before that? It was just those two things, eh? Yeah, I think it was just those two things. So it was CIBC, then it was the long weekend. So it almost feels like I haven't been here for a month. Oh, my gracious. Boy. But let me tell you all now. Today we have an amazing guest in studio with me. And y'all know I don't normally talk about politics. You know, I try to stay far from politics and religion because, boy, y'all could get out of order. Y'all is get out of order. But I decided to, you know, deviate a little bit. And deviate because, hey, it's a political season. Election has been called. And we're all focused on it. Whether or not you're voting, you're not voting, you're voting for this one, you're voting for the next person. At the end of the day, the entire country is literally alive. So I decided to highlight different candidates. And let me say this. I, Stanya Davis, I have to say this. Nobody knows who I'm voting for, who I'm not voting for, all that stuff, because you know y'all be trying to see everything. This is a platform so that we can understand, see what's out there, and make our own decisions. Okay? So today I have an amazing woman in studio. Before she was a candidate, boy, let me tell you, she was already a walking contradiction of everything that the Bahamas said a black woman from here could be. She finished high school at 15. She walked into the University of Florida's College of Dentistry and became the first black female graduate in its history. She came home, built a practice, built a reputation. She even built a hotel with her own hands. And then, at an age when most people are preparing just to rest and chill out, she walked into politics. Not because she was invited, but because she decided to do that. So this is not a political dossier, however you want to pronounce it today. This is a study of a human being who happens to be running for office. So the questions that I'm going to ask her today are designed to do what Bahamian media rarely does, with its political candidates. But of course, you know, this is Tell It to Stanya. Or in the words of my daughter, she said, Mommy, only you wouldn't like to ask people all their business. So today we're going to go beneath the surface, beneath the platform, beneath the party, beneath the polished language. And we're going to find out, who is this woman? Her wounds, her faith, her fury, her love, what she's afraid of, what she survived, what she has never said out loud. So today, I want to welcome Dr. Veronica Williams MacGyver.
Hello, Stania. It's a pleasure to be on your show. I believe it's going to be an exciting time.
I know that it is.
Because like you said, you're getting behind the scenes.
Asking you all your business. Now, guys, and I said this before, and Dr. MacGyver could attest to this as well. I seldom or rarely ask questions beforehand. Like, I know like a little bit about people. So Dr. MacGyver, this is a brave woman because she doesn't even know where I'm going. And let me tell you all now, because I'm always respectful to come on the show. I asked Dr. MacGyver and I said, Dr. MacGyver, is there anything that you don't want me to touch? And she said, no, my life is an open book. You could ask me anything. I say, what about the divorce and the marriage and the... She said, Stania, I said, you can ask me anything. Boy, listen. I would have been dead scared if anyone was asking me my business. But anyway, that is what she said, guys. And I'll say this. I met her last week. And when I saw her, she had a little ponytail. She had a cap on. She was in camping mode. She was, you know, about to go on a walkabout. And then today, listen, what station this is? We live on, Brittany? BTC Flow Channel 612, Cable Bahamas Channel 969. Today, I saw, or I'm seeing, businesswoman diva extraordinaire. Okay, hello. I mean, Dr. MacGyver, I almost didn't even know it was you.
Boy, you're making me laugh.
Listen. I'm serious.
Listen, you got to be able to put on your makeup in 5 minutes. You got to be able to put on your cap sometimes when you run into the food store and your hair is not fixed. Listen, us women, we got to be able to get it down. We can multitask. Right. Listen.
So
the women out there know just what I'm talking about. So, when your hair ain't fixed, man, right. You put on your cap and you go to the food store.
You know
and that's right.
Yes, ma'am. So well, how long did it take you to put your makeup on today?
About 5-6 minutes.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I don't do the makeup thing, you know.
You're natural. Yes, you're a natural type of woman. Okay, good stuff.
Yeah.
So now, Dr. MacGyver, honestly, you know, when I did the research, I was like, oh, my God, this woman is like, you're the woman of first. Mm-hmm. You know, you were the first Black female to graduate from the University of Florida's dental school. Mm-hmm. The first female to practice dentistry in the Bahamas. The first woman elected president of the Bahamas Dental Association. Mm-hmm. And when I think about that, okay, we're talking about Florida, the Deep South, and this would have been in like which decade?
This would have been in the 80s when I graduated. And I graduated in 82.
Okay, so you would have entered late 70s.
Yes,
and
yes.
Listen, I went to college in Oklahoma, mm-hmm. and there was still a lot of racism, a lot of stigmas, a lot of, you know, just all this stuff. Like, how did you navigate that?
Mind you, in my class, there were only 4 Black students out of about 85, 89, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. So you see where there weren't many Blacks entering dental school at that time.
Right.
And I was the only female, Black female, in my class.
Okay.
And like you said, you mentioned I was the first Black female to graduate from that school.
Okay.
And you know, coming home, being the first female to practice dentistry, listen, that I took that to be an honor, to be the first at coming home and helping my Bayman people. And it was different because all of the meetings we had initially, I was the only woman in the room.
Right.
But let me give you a little joke. Here I am, you know, when the woman come home, you know, you're trying to, hey, I'm the first woman. Do you know the first couple of months I got pregnant?
Oh, no.
I got pregnant.
What?
The first couple of months I was home. And I was like, oh, how are you going to do this now? You know, you're in a room with a lot of men.
Right.
They're already thinking about women and their home life.
Yes.
And here I am coming to, you know, showboat. And then here I am being pregnant. But, you know, it's amazing how that didn't deter me. I worked up until my 9th month.
Wow.
And I couldn't believe it when I look back. I was going to work in high heels, being pregnant, with pearls on, and taking out teeth. And I look back and I said, oh, wow, would you do that again? Because in my later years, you know, I stopped wearing the high heel shoes. I got more practical.
And right, right.
I started going in my little scrubs and
yes.
and my little flat shoes. And but boy, when I come home, boy, I had them high heel shoes, those pearls.
Right,
and,
right.
And some of the guys used to laugh at me. They said, "Doc, you get enough strength to take out my tooth?"
Well, and, I could see you listen. You might be 5'2", but listen, I could see you packing a lot. You're a serious woman. Yes.
And let me tell you something. I used to make a joke with them too. I say, well, you know, if I got to put my foot on top of you to pull this out, I have to do that.
You're going
to
do that.
And they would laugh.
So, okay. Now, what does it mean like to be first? And I know sometimes when you're like, you're just living your life, so you're not really looking at it. This is just what you do, who you are, but being first means that there's no roadmap to follow. Being first means that there's no mentor that you could turn to, or, you know, things is getting hard. You can't call nobody because nobody been down this road here.
Yes.
So for you, like, what does being first, like, what did it take from you, or what did it give you?
Well, the way I looked at it was that I was looking more at opening the doors for females who would come behind me, that they looked up to me and they said, wow, if you can do it, then I can do it. And I heard that from a lot of some of the dentists who came behind me.
Right.
They said, yeah, they were enamored by the fact that I did it. Uh-huh. And so for me, I don't think I needed a roadmap mm-hmm. of where I needed to go, because for me, your profession should not be gender-based.
Okay.
Whether you're male or female,
right.
you were trained to do a certain procedure. And so that part didn't bother me at all. But like I said, I was enamored the fact that I could have been a role model for other young girls that came behind me.
So you wasn't even thinking about being first.
You're just
living your life, just doing your thing.
Yes.
Okay. And I mean, like, how did the men, did they embrace you?
Yes, because I was embraced because, well, Dr. Enias, Cleveland Enias at that time, you know, he was an icon back mm-hmm. in the 60s and 70s. And I went to speak with him prior to going to dental school. He gave me some encouraging words. And when I came home, he embraced me. And before long, I was the president. And
right.
they allowed me to take over the association and move forward. Again, I don't think they saw it as male, female. At least they didn't say anything to me.
Okay.
And so I just did what I had to do.
So what now? So you went to college at 15?
No. When I left high school, uh-huh. I worked at Royal Bank as a cashier teller.
Really?
For about a year and a half.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know that.
So you were a teller at Royal Bank.
Yes. I was in, first they put me in savings account
mm-hmm.
and we had to balance. See, back in those days, things were different in the bank.
Right.
Back in those days, I had so much money in my account,
okay.
like $250,000
okay.
that I took care of myself in cash.
Oh, wow.
They don't do that anymore in the banks. And I had to balance at the end of the day. And I used to balance to the penny. And that usually doesn't happen back in those days. Mm-hmm. So they were quite impressed with that. So they said, okay, time for her to move up to the checking account teller. Because then you have more cash you're using.
Uh-huh.
And I was successful. And then, you know, that didn't deter me from going to college. I felt as if I was kind of like too young to go away at the time.
Okay.
So I waited until a little later and then I went to college.
Well, at what point, like, so you knew that you wanted to be a dentist? Like, at 15,
I knew, okay,
16?
No, when I was 9 or 10,
mm-hmm.
I knew I wanted to do something in the medical field.
Okay.
Or let me use another word. The scientific field.
Okay.
Because some of my options were pharmacy. I thought about being a pilot.
Really?
Yes, because all of those things, you need science.
Right.
And so I looked at all my options. Then I thought, as I got closer, I said, okay, well, I'll be a physician. And then as I got closer to where you're thinking of getting married and all that kind of stuff,
right.
Something about having babies, then I started thinking, back in those days, I used to think of men who used to get out of their bed in the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
do emergency calls, deliver babies. Then I started thinking, if I'm home with my husband, just had a newborn baby, do I want to get up in the middle of the night to go?
Right.
So that kind of caused me to think about a 9-to-5 job. And okay. I knew that dentistry was more 9-to-5.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could talk to young women today and say, you don't have to follow that path, because with medicine today, there are other areas like dermatology,
right,
where it's 9-to-5.
Right.
But for some reason, I probably didn't have all of the knowledge back then.
Right.
I just saw the doctor coming out of his bed with the night call. Okay. And so that kind of, I had a little limited view on that. And that's what ended up causing me to go into dentistry.
So now let's go back, because, okay, now you come from a powerful family. You know, some people might kind of call it or look at it as a dynasty. So let's go, first of all, seven girls?
There were eight girls originally. Seven are alive.
Okay, what number are you?
I'm number seven. Okay. There's one girl after me.
Okay.
One.
And no brothers?
No, there was a boy. He was the last child.
Okay.
He was an attorney.
Okay.
Unfortunately, he died 2 years ago.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
So what did your house sound like? Like, what did it look like?
Listen. Okay, so we grew up in what we call the Valley.
Okay, where's that?
The Valley is in Centerville.
Okay.
Most people, you know, you heard about, that's where the Valley Boys come from.
Okay.
That's why.
Listen now. Get comfortable.
Right.
Okay.
So Gus Cooper, Perry Christie, all of us grew up within blocks of each other.
Okay.
And so we were considered the Valley Girls. So
really?
Up until today, like how you have Saxons, one family, and the roots, and go on and on, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, we are still considered the Valley Girls.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yes, and so growing up in a household with all these girls, there were advantages.
Okay.
Because, boy, look here, I used to borrow everything.
Okay.
Listen, let me borrow that bag. I need this color bag and I don't have it.
Uh-huh.
Or the other day, even as an adult, the other day I was going somewhere and I needed a special pearl to wear around my neck, and I didn't have that particular pearl. I call my sister up. I say, listen, you have any pearls about this length? She say, yeah, come over. Come get it.
Okay.
Yeah, so we learned to share and borrow things from each other. Mm-hmm. And that was the advantage. Also, the advantage of having a lot of sisters is that they become your friends.
Yeah.
So I had less friends, close friends.
Right.
Because my sisters were like my friends.
Okay, no, I totally get it.
Yes,
I totally get it. Like, you don't need friends, because your sisters you could party with them.
Yes.
You know, you could fight with them, get
we mad again. We travel together. Yes.
Yeah, you can literally do.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was your mom like?
My mother was a homemaker. Mm-hmm. Later on, and a seamstress. She used to sew clothes. That's how some of us get to be able to sew our clothes.
So don't you sew as well?
Yes, I could sew a clothes. Uh-huh. I sew a formal. The last time I sewed something was maybe about 4 years ago. I haven't had time to do it recently.
Right.
But I sew a formal.
Oh, wow.
I could sew a suit.
Oh, you could sew?
Oh, I could sew. My mom taught me how to sew. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Man, what? I used to sew a lot. But, you know, because of time and availability, you really don't have the time.
But
I enjoy it.
I have to ask you this question. Now, okay, like, I like to say that we don't have a children's problem in the Bahamas. I prefer to look at it as though we have a parenting issue or concerns in the Bahamas. Now, like I said, you come from a very powerful family. So everybody's doing something. Like, everyone is very productive. Everyone is busy. What did your parents, and I know we haven't talked about your dad, but what did they instill that, you know, there must be a recipe, because, like I said, all of you are successful in your own right. Like, you guys stand, everyone is a powerhouse. So what did mommy and dad do that maybe other people didn't do, maybe we're not doing now, but what was their recipe?
Okay, well, let me... Listen, my mom and dad, I admire them. First of all, my dad was an extremely handsome man.
Okay.
Let's start with that.
Okay.
And of course, because of that, I'm going to boast and say,
that's right,
all the Williams girls, the men used to say, boy, they're some beautiful girls now.
Right.
And, you know, they always used to come and visit the home. And my mom, she was the one who taught us how to take a dollar and stretch it into $2.
Okay.
So a lot of people see myself and my sisters. Well, I could say it on the air. Some of my sisters are an attorney. Some they're teachers. Some are business women. Of course, most people would be familiar with Elaine Pinder, who owns Bamboo Shack. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the sisters are very successful. And then you have, but I could say all of the sisters went to college.
Right.
And so, yes, it came from my mom and dad drive to give us a better education.
Okay.
And my mom taught us how to, like I say, take a dollar and stretch it into two. So people might see us being successful and they think the money just came and fell down from the sky, but it didn't. We had to work hard. Let me give you an, I'll give you an example so you could understand. Let's say when I had my property out, I got a quote for landscaping. Mm-hmm. I mean, that quote was like $250,000. Well, when they give me that quote, I couldn't afford that.
Right.
So I got my gardener and I say, come, let's get, let me buy these little pallets of grass from the, what was the name of that place on Fox Hill? Anyway, where they sell grass by the block.
Right.
I bought some of them, child, and I started cutting them up in little pieces. I was giving it to him and he was digging a hole in the ground and putting the grass in, and we did that patch uh-huh. until that grass grew together.
So you wasn't paying all that money?
No.
Okay.
So that's what I mean by taking a dollar
and stretching it.
Right. But people think you were born with a
well.
No. My sisters and I, we are hard workers and we understand the struggle women have. But it's just that we have to be able to teach them how to do it. And that's one of the things I would like to see a government do in education, financial literacy.
Right.
And it has to be age appropriate. So let me give you an example. A child at the age of 3 to 5, you give them a piggy bank. Mm-hmm. Okay, they put little coins in and they put one little dollar in if you give it to them.
Right.
And then you teach them what a piggy bank is, is saving money. And then at the end of the month, or end of the year, you buy something. When you get 10 or 11, then you want to start giving them little chores. Let's say you give your 10 or 11-year-old. All right, you take the garbage out. You wash dishes or do something. Give them a little incentive. Give them a $5 or $10. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the month or end of the year, they get some money. Now they have to decide what they're going to do with it. Are you going to reinvest it or are you going to go buy a nice outfit for yourself because you work hard?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get about 15, 16, I would like to see the Bahamian children learn stocks and bonds. Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Right.
We are not taught that. And so I feel as if our country could be more progressive if we just teach the right things in high school, man.
Guys,
you understand?
Listen, that was, now, I don't know if y'all was listening intently. I know that I was, and even though my daughter is grown, she's 20 or what have you, that... You know, these are some of the things that I would have instilled. And my daughter, man, listen, she got better money management than I do. But she said just now, I think a lot of times what we do as parents, we say, oh, well, I didn't have this growing up. So they just want to give their children everything besides the right thing. So financial literacy is something that I think we definitely need to teach our children on a large scale, as well as on just an individual in your house scale. I hope you all heard that. And thank you, guys. Listen, my guests know that when we talk in, now there's going to be a time for questions, guys. But right now, you know, we talk in. So I know you're listening. But that was a blueprint, guys, for parenting as it pertains to financial literacy.
Yes.
Did you all hear that? As early as 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up on, she gave you the blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
So what is something that your mom would have done to save or to be frugal or teach you that lesson?
Well, I've seen my mom, remember now, she had 10 children, even though we're 8 girls.
Right.
There was 10 children at one point. Chicken. Listen, I've seen her have to take that wing and split that in half.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Child, come on, man.
No.
I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my...
No. How in half?
Well, listen, and if she had to do without, she had to do without and make sure we had it. How many parents are going through that right now today? Listen, I feel so sorry for all of the mothers out there who are going through hard times. Listen, I know what you're going through. COI wants to make a difference in your life. Stania, we've got to empower our young people, especially the mothers. Do you know that most of the mothers in the Bahamas right now are single parents?
Yes.
They have to fend for themselves. Mm-hmm. Some of them are suffering. And so I could imagine what they're going through. But, you know, that's why I want to make it better for others. And that's why we want to empower people. We believe in, instead of trickle-down economics, right. the money comes from the top. Remember now, with foreign direct investment and tourism, mm-hmm. all of the money is injected with concessions at the top of the chain.
Right.
But at the bottom of the pyramid, we are the people at the bottom of the pyramid.
Right.
We need some money injected at the bottom so we can float up to the top. Right now, the money is trying to get from the top to the bottom. And mm-hmm. guess what? It isn't filtering down. Mm-hmm. That's why the people in the Bahamas at the bottom of the pyramid, mm-hmm. they're not getting their share of money that's coming into this country.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. In 2021, when the PLP came into power, mm-hmm. the GDP per capita was $31,000 per capita. Mm-hmm. By the end of their term, do you know it's up to $39,000? Okay. And just quickly, I just want to say
no,
this.
But so people, explain what does that mean?
Okay, that means that GDP, the average right. person is making $31,000. That's mm-hmm. what it's showing on paper.
Right.
You and I know.
In reality.
You and I know. The minimum wage only give you about $13,000 a year.
Right.
So right away, those figures give a false sense of security for the Bahamas.
Okay.
And it rose from $31,000 to $39,000 mm-hmm. at the end of the PLP reign this time. Mm-hmm. Most people are saying, hey, things are doing well with the PLP. But guess what? You feel that? I feel that? Mm-hmm. The average person at the bottom of the pyramid did not feel the increase. You know why? The money is not trickling down the way it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. So I am going to propose that we do trickle-up economics. We have our sovereign wealth fund, and we put money into the sovereign wealth fund through our natural resources mm-hmm. and businesses and so forth. Give Bahamians, empower these mothers to get mm-hmm. into business, and they in turn would have to buy goods and services. And mm-hmm. who you think own all the wholesalers? The oligarchs own all the big businesses in Nassau. So guess what? We at the bottom have to buy goods and services from them to run our business, right?
Right.
So it's a win-win situation for trickle-up economics. So everybody at the base go a little bit higher up. And the oligarchs, they getting more money from us, so they go a little higher up. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a win-win situation for the Bahamas, and that's what I'm advocating is trickle-up economics and not trickle-down economics.
So now I have a sideways question. Now, publicly, Dr. MacGyver, see what I told you? Listen, Dr. MacGyver is a pretty face, but y'all can tell this woman don't play. Hello, somebody. Okay. Now, publicly, you challenged Bahamian media. You know, a few years ago, mm-hmm, saying that, you know, third-party candidates were not getting fair coverage. That yes. was very bold.
Yes, I did. And I still believe that today. IRCA needs to do a better job, I think, at monitoring that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think...
And this is what I believe, and a lot of people believe this as well. Mm-hmm. When, and I'm being very specific, because I'm talking to my Bahamian people. I don't have skirt around. When the PLP came into power, it appeared as if the media was bought out. All of the senior persons, one was sent off to manage IRCA. Nahaja Black was sent to Canada. A number of them. Clint Watson was sent to be the secretary for the prime minister. They took all of the senior media person mm-hmm. out of right circulation. And a lot of the junior persons, I feel as if that was a way to control the media. Mm-hmm. I still believe that today. That has to change. So that has to change.
I was just about to say, do you think that you guys are getting more coverage now? Because I know you made that statement a few years ago. Do you think now the COI is getting, or third-party persons are getting more, more
We are
coverage?
Getting more, but not nearly enough.
Why do you think that is?
Because of the way the system, it's our system. That's why we have to break the system. You understand?
Okay.
We have to break the system. Okay, you know you have, campaign finance reform is a good subject to talk about.
Okay, tell us a little bit about
that. We have been
that.
Talking to have campaign finance reform. So when elections come around, who is funding you? How could somebody give you 10 million, 20 million, 30 million, and we don't know who they are? That is against the rules and regulations. Most first world countries have legislation added as it relates to campaign finance reform. We don't. Both parties, the PLP and FNM, keep kicking the can down the road. Everybody listening to the sound of my voice probably can speculate why they're kicking the can down the road. It is unfair. It's an unfair level playing field, and it has to stop.
Okay. Listen, will y'all see Dr. MacGyver on Twitter? Listen, will y'all saw what she did right there? So if y'all want to send me a text message, 422-4796, feel free to text. If you have a comment or you want to ask her a question, 422-4796. Or, guys, you could give me a call, 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. Okay, a question that came. Okay, what is the most dishonest thing that you think that happens in Bahamian politics that nobody talks about? Like, I know you just mentioned one of them, which was, you know, we don't know where the money is coming from that's being contributed. But what do you think is something dishonest that happens in Bahamian politics?
I think disclosure. I think a lot of politicians don't disclose what they have and where they got it from. And if they do acquire it, it's been speculated again. You know, I can't prove any of this. That you know they could put it in other person's name and stuff like that. So yes, there is some dishonesty. Of course, you know, corruption is still very prevalent in our political system. Even the Americans had subtly spoke about this, that our anti-corruption laws need to be strengthened. And
I know they was waiting to call in now. I know they was ready.
Okay. They're ready?
I know they're ready. Because typically, like I said, they normally give me a minute to talk. Okay. But you jump on in, Dr. MacGyver. So I said, well, listen, it done make that turn, but let's just go with it.
Let's go.
Brittany, there's someone on the line. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hello. Good day.
Good day.
Dr. MacGyver, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
How do you get in contact with you? Where's your headquarters? What's your contact number?
My headquarters is opposite Starbucks on West Bay Street in the Cable Beach area. My number to call my secretary is there, 831-0070.
Oh, 831-70.
Yeah, 831-0070. I hope I got that right.
Yeah.
So I'm memorizing it out of my head.
Okay, because someone in your constituency wanted to know how to get in contact with you, and I don't know if the two of them will vote for you. And I'm saying, in my opinion, if you were to win Kalani, right?
Yes.
You would be the first female to dethrone a former prime minister, and more than likely he would be in retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and if the rest of the seats were to be split 20-20, like the situation we had in 67 with Randall Fox,
yes,
then I would like to know what would be your decision and how would you align yourself to give the majority.
Okay.
Wow, that's, well, first of all, thank you very much for your question. I would be happy to be the first female, I think I'll be the first female to win Kalani constituency. That'll be another first under my cap, as Tanya was talking.
The lady of first.
Yes.
The lady of first.
And that hypothetical situation that the caller gave, it could happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if it will happen, but it could happen. And I will take that very seriously because I would be making a decision for the direction in which the country goes in. That would be a heavy weight on my shoulder, and I will take that with a lot of responsibility. I will sit down and I will negotiate with both parties to see where each party is taking the country. And of course, like in any negotiation, when you come from a position of strength, you could make your demands, and you could bet your bottom dollar my demands will be in favor of the Bahamian people.
Now, Dr. MacGyver, there's a Killarney is huge. It's very visible. It's a visible constituency, right? We have the former prime minister who's there. Mm-hmm. You got the Cable Beach area, straight on down to Gambier. It's a combination of different people, different mm-hmm. beliefs, different needs. Mm-hmm. Okay, you being on the ground, what have you learned? What have you seen? What surprised you? Like, what are you hearing?
Well, you are right. There, Killarney is very special
right.
because you have people from the higher echelon,
right.
High socioeconomic bracket,
right.
like Lightfoot Key and Old Fort Bay, and then you have people in Gambier tend
right.
to be more lower socioeconomic. It's quite a big disparity,
right.
and so I deal with their concerns differently. So somebody who might be a business person, entrepreneur, doing very well in their business, mm-hmm. they may be more concerned with how is Inland Revenue treating the business people. Why don't we have a one-stop shop? And I experienced being a hotelier.
Right.
When it was time to get my hotel, I had to go to about 10 or 15 different departments.
What?
And they had me going all over the place. One say, go to A. Then A say, no, you got to go back to B and get B before you get A. Like, we need a one-stop shop for business people.
Okay.
Then you have the what I call middle-class people. I can tell you I was shocked. Well, I wouldn't say I was shocked. But it confirmed to me that our middle class is struggling. As I go door to door, I'm knocking on their door, so I have to wait 1 or 2 minutes before they come out.
Okay.
So I have chance to just look.
Mm-hmm.
And I see paint peeling off the wall. I see cracks in their building. I see landscape unkept. I know they're struggling. And I look at some people and I say, you know what? This person probably have to make the decision. Do I pay my light bill?
Right.
Or do I paint my house this year?
Right.
And so the middle class is struggling. And one of the things that COI proposed that we will do for middle class people, we will eliminate real property tax.
Nah.
No, businesses, we'll keep real property tax on businesses. But we're going to eliminate that on the homeowners.
Now, Dr. MacGyver, is that a realistic?
Yes.
Something realistic? Not a situation where, you know, we have certain, I'm sitting in the middle of the road now, you guys.
Yeah.
But let me just say where, you know, we've heard of programs where one person benefited or nobody benefited from it. But, you know, this is what persons are campaigning on. And actually, one of the questions that I have here that someone just texted and asked is that, okay, we hear a lot of promises before election. And then the minute, you know, persons are elected, these promises go down the drain. We don't hear about it anymore. Or like I said, either just one person is benefiting from it or nobody at all.
Listen, I understand what you are saying.
Mm-hmm.
That is our goal. Anything we say we're going to do doesn't necessarily have to be done in the first 100 days.
Okay.
These things will be done incrementally. And the most important thing that I will do and we will do as a COI, we will lay the books open bare to the Bahamian people. Bahamian people are reasonable people. They want you to be trustworthy.
Right.
And they want you to be accountable. And they want you to be transparent. Let me tell you what. We do not have the transparency we need in this government. So people are wondering, well, why aren't you doing that? If you can show them,
right.
okay, you don't have the money, people will be more reasonable, you know.
Right.
But when you see the wastage, when you hear $58-60-something million in travel, and when you hear the advisors,
mm-hmm.
the consultants,
right.
one consultant got $400,000 a year. When people hear that, but they don't understand the ins and outs,
right.
then they start to question. We are going to lay bare
mm-hmm.
as much as we can within reason, as long as it doesn't affect our national security.
So
people need to know these things. And another thing I plan to do, well, don't let me get onto the healthcare because, you know,
we'll
I can take that for hours.
I was just about to say, because, well, that's another question someone has here. But okay, so what you're saying is that, okay, you have a platform, you have things that you want to do, can do. And if it is impossible to do or not at that time, you're going to just be honest about it.
Yes.
That's pretty much what you're saying.
Yes.
You're going to be honest about it.
Of course.
Okay. All right. So another question, right, was what specifically sets you apart from the traditional parties? And how would residents of Killarney feel the difference in their daily lives within your first year in office? So let's say now the election is passed. Everybody has been signed. You're in. The first year, let's start with Killarney. About Killarney, what are some of the things that you think you can do like right away to kind of ease the tension just a little bit? And mind you, and by the way, I live in Killarney. I live in Killarney, guys. I've seen some, it might be as simple as fixing the road. There's literally a little dip in the road where I live. And I could tell you all this. Half of people's cars still inside one little dip. I saw somebody, the little hood cap, whatever that is, come off this morning as I was walking the dogs. what's something that in Killarney that you can do right away?
Okay, well, we are in the digitization age.
Okay.
So we have to be able to connect with each other. And so we will have different apps where people can speak to us, let us know what's going on. But sometimes infrastructure, people always say we want better infrastructure. That should be a no-brainer.
Right.
Our government, we pay taxes for that.
Right.
You know what I want to hear? How can you make my life better in terms of human resource, especially for our country?
Right.
And I'm sorry to divert away from Killarney. You mentioned what we will do when we win.
Well, you're the deputy leader, aren't you?
Right. Uh-huh. So we want to empower our Bahamian people.
Right.
The difference between us and the other two bodies, we're going to take power away from the cabinet. We're going to give it to the people. The prime minister, as far as I'm concerned, he has too much power right now. We have to decentralize that power.
So how do you do
that? We're going to have local government, but not the local government they have. The local government they have don't have no teeth. It's like a shark, with a rubber. Rubber, I'll say, okay. But it doesn't have any teeth. So what we're going to do, we're going to have like elections where we have mayors and councilmen on the family islands.
Okay.
So that they directly get to decide if there's a hole in the road, they can fix that themselves with their budget. They don't have to call to Nassau and say, send the administrator down a couple of dollars that he have for the whole year. No. The monies that they collect on like taxes,
right,
they're going to keep their money. Right now, all of the islands send everything to the public treasury, and then the government decide what they're going to send back to the islands.
Oh, wow.
That's going to be a thing of the past. So they're going to keep their money. They're going to be innovative.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to cause them to motivate them to be more innovative. They're going to keep it. Now, some of the far-flung islands, like Auckland, Sinagua, and Mayaguana, there will still be a huge umbilical cord still attached to central government because not enough people live there.
Right.
They can't sustain. They can't sustain themselves by themselves. So we're gonna have an umbilical cord, but everything has to be transitioned. And our aim is gonna be to, let me tell you how we can do it. We are gonna connect all of the family islands together. Right now, the only connection we have basically one or two little ferries, Bahamas Air. If I want to go to Auckland, I go on Bahamas Air. I can't come back that afternoon.
No, you got to come back after a couple
of days. If I want to go to Inagua, I got to come back to Nassau and then fly back to Inagua. Mm-hmm. No, that's going to be a thing of the past for us. We're going to have special boats, and we already talked to some people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know all the technical terms, like the hydrofoil.
Okay, right.
One goes on the water, and then one goes 10 feet above the water.
Okay.
It's like a little boat, but it goes about 100-something miles an hour. And we're going to connect all the islands and have different hubs. So you can go from Long Island to Exuma or Exuma straight to Auckland. So you don't have to come to Nassau and then go on Bahamas Air. Because when you have interconnection, commerce automatically is increased.
So now one of the questions, okay, well, I'll ask this question a little later, but I do have a question. I have plenty questions. They're sending me these questions.
I have plenty of time.
They're asking, someone just asked, do you guys plan to have local government for New Providence?
Yes. Yes, again, the thing is decentralized.
Okay.
Listen, I don't tell you, the prime minister have too much power. I remember back in the old days, When they want to get citizenship.
Right.
I understand cabinet used to make the decision who gets citizenship. Cabinet shouldn't be making that decision. Man, we there to form effective policies, legislation. That's what we there for. We ain't there to get into people's business and who do this and who get this contract. And, you know, listen, those things that have come to an end, man, that no-bid contract thing that's going on with this government, they set out a procurement law, right? Mm-hmm. They pass it in the House of Assembly. And they still ain't abiding by what they pass. What kind of government we have here, man?
Now, why? Okay, Lord, listen. My two phone ring. I'm not. Listen, I got two phones. I going from one phone to the next with these questions. Okay, I got questions for y'all. Okay, so Dr. MacGyver, now you would have mentioned some things about the current government, but okay, why COI? Why not? Well, I know you wasn't saying it sound like he was going to go to BLP, but why not? Why not FNM? Why not as an independent candidate? Why? How come? I'm not saying that you shouldn't or you should. I'm just curious. Like, what was the deciding factor for you? Why did you decide to go to the COI?
I decided to go to the COI because I saw that over the last 50 to 60 years, we were not progressing. When Pinling took over in 67, I saw progression.
Okay.
We formulated institutions like NIB. I thought that was good. Mm-hmm. And he started the Naval Force. Those were good things, but it lasted for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then when Hubert Ingraham came in power, there were two things that I admired. He opened up the roadways.
Right.
Yeah. I thought that was a good
thing. Well, he was mad at him for that, yes. But yes.
No, I know some people were upset because of the diversion of traffic and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, we do have two lanes in some areas where we had one lane in those corridors. And so, therefore, I just believe that we should... Oh, and then Hubert Ingraham also opened up the... Hold on. He opened up the airwaves. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I feel like we were going downhill from there. We are not harnessing our true potential in the Bahamas. We were probably one of the richest nations in the world.
Right.
But we are not harnessing our natural resources. And our natural resources are in the thousands. The first one most people understand is the fish in the ocean.
Right.
You can make billions of dollars from that. I spoke to somebody who is president of the fly fishing industry. And he said, Ronnie, we could make $1 billion tomorrow,
easy.
But they have to free our hands so we can do it. So what is causing our governments to be so tight-lipped over our natural resources? We have salt, we have aragonite, we have calcium carbonate. They were digging calcium carbonate in Grand Bahama from 1955 to now. And when you look at the line item budget in Parliament every budget year, I don't see $1 come from that. How could we be sending out $5 billion worth of calcium carbonate, right?
Right.
And not $1 on our line item budget that the Bahamian people get? Come on, man. Something has to be wrong with that system. So we're going to have to go in there and change that. And guess what? And without the freedom of information, there is some information that's limited to the Bahamian people. Why? Matter of fact, I think it was Fred Mitchell. I think I'm the prime minister. Both of them. Both of them say freedom of information is not a priority at this time. What is a priority at this time, sir?
So,
what is your agenda? Is it immigration?
But why the COI? Why not? Why did you choose the COI?
Because the other two parties were not harnessing their natural resources. They did not want to empower the Bahamian people. Mm-hmm. I saw poverty increasing. Mm-hmm. In 2001, the poverty level was, I have it on my phone, but anyway, let me see if I could memorize it in my head. The poverty level in 2001 was about 7.9.5%. And then when it got to 2013, the poverty rate went up to 12.5%. And then by 2017, just before Minutes took over, the poverty rate rose to 14.5%. Now, what that is telling you, over the PLP and FNM, poverty kept on increasing. That's not good enough for me. That's not good enough for my people. So I decided something is wrong with the system we have. Remember I told you that trickle-down economics?
Right.
It ain't working for us. We need something different. We need our sovereign wealth fund. Mm-hmm. We need our natural resources. Inject money into the sovereign wealth fund. By the way, we are not going to touch the principal in the Sovereign Wealth Fund. We are only going to siphon off the interest.
Okay.
And to build our institutions so that that Sovereign Wealth Fund could keep on growing and growing and growing. Just like how NIB invests their money,
right.
We're going to invest the Sovereign Wealth Fund. And that money is going to go back into the economy at the bottom of the pyramid.
So, okay. Now, this is a question that came up several times. And mm-hmm. I see someone else's message. So I want to be as respectful as... So I'm going to paraphrase.
Yes.
Okay. So persons are saying that they like... what the COI is saying, what they stand for, but they have concerns about the leader of the COI. What do you see that these people may not see?
I work with Mr. Bain very closely. They don't know him the way I know him.
Right.
Mr. Bain is the visionary behind the COI. Let me mm-hmm. get that straight. Mm-hmm. I am not perfect. Is Mr. Bain perfect? Absolutely not. Anyone listening to me right now perfect?
No.
When you look at all the prophets in the Bible, every one of them mm-hmm. had a defect. Look at Paul. Mm-hmm. Paul was probably the most important prophet in the Bible. Paul used to kill people.
Right.
If we bring somebody right now who used to kill people, by the Bahamian people will crucify him. You follow?
Right.
So God has put Mr. Bain through many different seasons of his life. Mm-hmm. I saw it. First, he was a police officer. So now, guess what? He gets to understand the penal code better than most of us. Mm-hmm. He went to law school for 3 years, even though he stopped short of one term, mm-hmm. came back home to do business. So guess what? He could read law better than I can read law. Mm-hmm. So, and then he was a pastor for a while. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Now he understands the Bible 10 times better than I can even understand the Bible.
Okay.
So God, and guess what? He wrote a book on identity crisis. Who you know wrote a book in their late 20s, early 30s? Mm. He was a motivational speaker. I can go on and on. The man is a singer.
Okay.
God has gifted him with a lot of talents. Whenever we have our conferences or whatever, I tend to be more scripted, you know, when I'm giving my speeches. I tend to be more scripted like most of the other politicians. But I could tell you, Mr. Bain will stand up for 2 hours, unscripted. I have never seen anyone who can do that. I think Pinling came close to, I don't know if Pinling could stand up for 2 hours and talk, but I would say Pinling and Lincoln, mm-hmm. boy, yeah.
Well,
Perry Christie was an orator as well. But yeah, he's gifted, and I want the people to understand that. Is he perfect? Absolutely not. Does he have flaws? Yes, he does. I have flaws too, and so is all the politicians. Because if I start with some of them flaws, some of our politicians have.
Okay.
We don't want to go there. We don't want to go there.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you this too. You know, as I was preparing for the other documentary that I'm doing, I did stop at the COI, and I went to all the political parties now, guys. Thank you. Okay. And one of the things, in speaking to someone there, I asked a person there, I said, same question. I said, what don't we see that you see in Mr. Bain? And this surprised me, actually. The person said, he's quiet. And I said, what are you talking about, quiet? About quiet. And so they said it's a part of him that yes. actually mm-hmm. is very calm, very quiet,
yes.
doesn't really bother. Mm-hmm. So I said, but we don't see that. What are you talking about? So, of course, they said, well, because there's just different layers to him. And sometimes people just want to focus on this other layer.
Uh-huh. Can I say something again? The media also contributes to that. Okay? Let me tell you something. Mr. Bain is a fighter and an activist. And so what do activists do? They go downtown with a bullhorn because you're not allowed to bring a microphone. That's one of the rules, I understand. In the front of a House of Assembly, you cannot bring a microphone.
No,
you
have I
to bring
know that.
Yes, I okay. found that out. I always just wonder, why don't you get a microphone?
Right.
But you can't. So they have a bullhorn. They're trying to reach their message to the people.
Okay.
And so when the media portray him, they try to portray him in that activism mode. And especially if they're trying to sabotage you, they will show you, you know, in that light. But I would ask them, they should have been showing him in his moments when he's just sitting down on a Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock, educating the Bahamian people, taking all of their questions at the end of his two-hour talk. I don't know any politician who would take the questions that he takes. That man is a special man. Is he perfect? No. But he was made for this dispensation. And I believe God put him there as a lion, because only a lion could fight what I consider, and Bahamian people, you have to forgive me for saying this, what I believe is a Mafia-style government today. Okay. And you need a lion to take that Mafia-style government down.
Okay. Okay, well, I will say too now, Lord, we don't get the meat, but let me not say me, because Stania, I have a show here, Stania does other things as well. But anyway, I got on my media cap today. But at the same time, too, Dr. MacGyver, yes. We have seen him. It's not just the media, too. When we go on his page, we see him as that lion, too. Now, that lion be roaring, too. So I think it may be sometimes a little of both sometimes. Okay. And I guess maybe how people would perceive him, but just not understanding that there are layers and levels to everyone. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Let's take a quick commercial break. I have a whole heap of comments. Okay. Another one. Let me read some of these comments before we go to a break. Okay. I'm a PLP and I think she's the best out of all the rest who's running in that constituency. Lord of mercy. And we the Bahamas love her song. Wish her all the best. Man, who did that song, Dr. MacGyver? That song off the chain, man, that busting for true now. Who's
Gandhi,
that?
Well, my niece, a lot of people know Gandhi Pinder.
Yes, everybody knows Gandhi.
Pinder's daughter. Yeah, Gandhi got an artist to do that for me. I worked closely with her.
Okay.
We decided what kind of words we want.
It's
good. And listen, you dance into that song. I dance into that song myself.
I'm telling you, listen, last week at CIBC, before last at CIBC, the producer who was with me, I said, what you listening to? He said, this Dr. MacGyver ad. I was like, okay, to Brittany laughing. Brittany, I saw you. You was doing
your
hair,
and
too.
Guess what? When I was doing a blitz one morning, the lady, a little girl, was in the back of the car. She was 10. She was saying, John, my girl is be singing your song.
I'm telling you.
I say, you see? That's hate. I'm going to now say that's probably God inspired.
Yes. Now, one other comment I'm going to read off, and then we're going to take a quick commercial break, and I will get to all these questions that y'all have. Okay. I have no problems with Mr. Bain. Must all our leaders be weak and sheepish? Also conformed. He informs, meaning Mr. Bain. We need a strong man, not a weak, pathetic British subject, or rather object.
Sounds good.
On that note, Lord have mercy, y'all ain't playing at all. Anyhow, we're gonna take a quick commercial break. Y'all could continue to send me these messages. It's 422-4796. That's the text the text phone line. 422-4796.
That was a paid political message.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
It's back, Agri-Expo 2026, presented by the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources, April 10th through 12th at the Gladstone Road Agriculture Center. Agriculture, our heritage, our future, comes alive with the latest farming technologies. Exciting cooking demonstrations and competitions, Bahamian farmers and vendors from across the islands, fun for the kids at the Kitty Quarter, nightly musical concerts, and free admission for everyone. Bring the whole family and celebrate what feeds our nation. Agri-Expo 2026. Let's get growing.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Hi, Sonia. How is it going? Lady, I have been watching and following for the past 5+ years. And to be honest with you, every question I ever had, she's already answered for me. So I really don't have any questions for her. I know that she's very capable. She's very ready. And she's also equipped for what she's advocating for. So, I mean, I was sitting here for the past 5 minutes trying to think of if I have any questions for her, and I really don't. I am excited, and I can't wait for her to get in the chair and to do what she is called to do, what I believe she's called to do. So, I mean, only thing I can say is I might probably need to take some more time with the thing, but I have been trying to think, and she's answered them all.
If you had any questions for Dr. MacGyver, listen, y'all blowing up.
I would like to thank the lady who said
who
that.
Said it?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah, I feel enamored when people, you know,
and they believe in
yes,
you.
Yes, thank you.
Well, I will say this. I see we have a call on the line. Hopefully I could get through all of these text messages. I have two phones in the front of me, and I have messages on two phones right now. And we have somebody who's on the line. I will say in preparation for the show, persons, they really like you, Dr. MacGyver. You know, I put the flyer up that, okay, you were coming on the show. And, man, I was getting all kind of little heart emojis and wish you good luck. And all that stuff. So they're definitely interested in what it is that you're bringing to the table. Okay, so let's go ahead and hear from the caller because we got like 20 minutes about 20 minutes left. So caller, go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good afternoon.
Dr. MacGyver.
Yes, hello.
Great job you're doing.
Thank
you. Let me say this. Our people in this country has to wake up. Anytime there's potential change that's going to do good is always a pushback because of money. The money people is what pushing back at this COI. Most talk show doing the same thing. They saying they ain't political, but they are. But let me just say this. I said this on many talk shows. Bahamian people that go to the poll, think seriously because in the next 5 to 10 or even 20 years, if these foreigners decide to form a party, do you think they're going to vote for PLP or FNM? No, they're not going to do that because they're loyal to their own. So what that happens for our kids, grandkids going down the road? A friend of mine's daughter been to the clinic, and three Bahamians, the 30-something Asian ladies, and that's one clinic. We need to start giving these people residency, not citizenship. We need to stop them from voting in our elections because this country in the next few years will be no more. And you can see the changes now starting to happen. Listen to their president of their whatever that is, association.
All right.
When they say they want to... Hello?
You go on, darling.
Yeah, when they said they're going to do... health insurance or something like that for them. He make it seem like they pay more tax than us.
Okay.
But do we realize the burden that they're putting on this country is what causes the increase of living in this country for Bahamians and paying all these taxes? You can't get medicine in the hospital. This is sad, bro.
Okay, thank you so much. Dr. MacIver, he mentioned something about insurance. Are you aware of this? Are you?
Yes. By the way, caller, you are right on point, sir. If we don't be careful after this election, I think it might be too late. I don't like to say that because I'm always hopeful and always faithful through my God. But I am afraid of the direction we're going in.
Okay.
Loftus Roker forewarned us what will happen. Miles Monroe forewarned us what will happen. And now I think we're reaching that precipice. And I think this is the closest we've come to, I'm so afraid. That's why I step forward. And I believe in what that gentleman is saying. Now, as it relates to insurance, as a matter of fact, my public relation team just said this morning where Wayne Monroe got up on the PLP platform and said that they are going to be having migrants pay health insurance so that they don't be a burden on our health system. Let me tell you, they stole that right from the COI.
Let
me finish talk.
What are you saying, Dr. MacIver?
They stole the idea. And we were able to prove it because my public relation team, they're fact-finding.
Right.
They went and got my video on March 29th when I said it. Matter of fact, I said it from last year, September. My sister pulled up one when I was on Steve McKinney show when I said it.
Right.
But my PR team confirmed it on March 29th when COI gave their 100-day plan.
Right.
One of the things that I said is that we're going to have migrants pay health insurance. The people who sponsor them bring them into the country. So it will be the sponsor's responsibility whether they pay for it or whether the migrant they bring in pay for it. It doesn't matter. The fact is that's going to be one of the criteria. Do you know the PLP went and stole that idea from us, and Wayne Monroe had the nerve to stand up, he probably didn't even know, and said the same thing I said. Not verbatim, but almost verbatim.
So from last year.
And so my PR team just sent that out this morning. So if anybody listening to that on my voice, look for that viral video. Go to my TikTok page. Go to my Facebook page. It's there in black and white. But, I only say that not to say that other people can't use your ideas. I want to say that in a good way. COI is the new vision for the Bahamas. And I believe the PLP, they are lacking vision. And they're now starting to use our vision. Telling you.
So now, Dr. MacIver, since we opened the door, well, two huge things, and that's actually two of the many questions that persons are messaging me about. One is healthcare, and the other one is immigration. So let's touch a little. You're a doctor. How do you feel about the healthcare system in the Bahamas?
For the last 22 or 30 years, I've never seen it this bad. Even nurses and doctors are now saying it. Before, it used to be whispered, but now the physicians are coming out. The president of the Physician Association, she said it. I did a walkabout yesterday. I spoke with a pediatrician, and what she told me, I couldn't believe it. Something has to happen. Something has to break.
It cannot
continue.
Concern? Right.
Listen, do you realize? No, I'm not calling you names. They're running out of medication. Do you know that most of the machines are not working? Someone last year, when I sent someone to go do a mammogram, because they couldn't afford a private one, I said, well, go to the hospital, get the mammogram done. They came back to me and they said, well, the mammogram machine is down. I said, what do you mean it's down? They say it's been down for 9 months. How could you have that in a country where it's probably the most among our female? How could that happen? Do you know someone called me yesterday and they said to me, the mammogram machine is still down. I cannot even believe that. Oh, my God. What is going on at our health institution? And another thing, too. I want to be hearing people that sound of my voice. Let me tell you something. I am going to be a hands-on minister of health. They're going to be able to touch and feel me. Bahamian people, they need good health care, and they're not getting it. The first thing I'm going to do when I get in, I have to audit all those machines. Let me tell you, you know how much people have to go out and get MRIs? A lot of people need cataract surgery right now today.
That could take the whole 5 years.
Yeah. So I know we don't have time to talk about all that, but we need a whole show for health. I only want to say that my people deserve health. And I've said it before, a government that cannot heal its people should not lead its people.
Well, that was a bomb drop just now. Okay, listen, Brittany, where that little bomb is, listen, drop that bomb. Say that again, Dr. MacGyver. What was that?
A government that cannot heal its people should not lead its people.
Where that bomb was, Brittany, you can't find it. Okay. Yeah, that was deep. That was deep. Okay, all right. Okay, so as it pertains to immigration, okay, someone called this morning, like I said, in preparation for the show, I normally, you know, send it out to a person's on my phone, and I have a whole heap on this phone here. And so, you know, one called, and she was like, okay, so I can't take it. I feel like I'm not living in the Bahamas anymore, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So now you touched on the insurance factor, but what else can be done? How do you guys, what's the plan for immigration?
Okay. Let me talk to my Bahamian people, and I want to make it clear. We are not against immigration. That's bringing in foreign labor to help build the Bahamas. We're not against that.
Okay.
But it has to be regulated. We have to know who is here, who is not here. First, the PLP government has not been transparent with us. They have not told us how many permit holders. They have not told us how many people got citizenship recently. They have not even been forthcoming with all these fraudulent passports.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, it has to be regulated. In Dubai, they had 400,000 citizens, but 2 million expatriates who helped them run. Okay, so as long as you know who the 2 million are, once you know who they are, then you can run your country good. But the problem that we're having here is the not knowing who is coming through the back door. That is our major problem.
So why don't we know, though?
Because we have a non-transparent government, and that's why they need to go. We cannot continue under this vein. When they asked Fred Mitchell the other day about, there's some fraudulent visas and passports, he gave the nonchalant answer like, well, as far as he's concerned, everything seemed to be above board. If you have a problem, you go to the police. Well, guess what? Mr. Fred Mitchell, I live on the street sometimes, and I just hear everything was going on. I know part of the underground network. The problem is, if I go to the police, I can't prove what I hear on the streets.
Right.
And I know the street talks. Anybody who knows about the street, they know what's going on.
Right.
If you want to know a car was stolen and who took it,
you
could go now and find out who took that car.
That's right.
When they stole my car about 30 years ago, one guy came to me and said, Doc, I could get that car back to you for $4,000. I say, what? I say, you know, that particular one, I didn't have insurance because I had bought that cash, right? So I say, well, I have no insurance. He said, my Doc, I could get that back to you for $4,000. I say, you know what? Keep that car. I was so mad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But everything you can find out
with
a sting operation, you don't think they can find that out? So
right.
Tell Fred Mitchell and the Prime Minister, man, you're come back with another story.
So, okay, so for starters, you want to follow the paper. There's going to be documentation.
It's going to be documentation.
Coming in.
Yes.
What's going
on? And I can honestly say that those persons who were born before the election, after independence, you remember our law says you are entitled to apply for citizenship at 18.
Right.
If you see COI win tomorrow,
right,
anyone who is born after we've won to foreign parents, they will be residents. They cannot become a citizen anymore. They cannot be naturalized. But those, out of fairness, those who were already born prior to this election in May 12th, we will abide by the law. So you're clear and free. But going forward, no. We can't afford to have lose our sovereignty where you have more persons of one sector.
Do you think that we have an immigration problem?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We do. Yes, we do. We do have an immigration only because of the regulation and how we're going about it. Okay. We are not xenophobic. We welcome other persons to come into the country. But I'll make a suggestion. If you're going to bring in migrants, why not diversify it? Bring in some Cubans, bring in some Filipinos, bring in some Jamaicans, bring in some Chinese. Have a melting pot. But if you have too much of one sector,
right,
it might be of national security risk. Right. So you have to also be careful how you regulate as well.
Right, right. Yes. Okay. Now, this person, Lord, they done find me. They done find my personal phone number now. Right, you got the people blocked. The people said they can't send the text message, so they had to send me a message on my phone. I don't even know how to get my number. Anyway, here we go. So the person says, Tanya, kindly ask your guest what she intends to do, or I guess the COI, because Dr. MacGyver is a part of the coalition. What do you plan to do for men and their progress? Listen, what about them?
Listen, I agree. I'm old-fashioned. I believe in the foundation of the family. Sometimes it don't always work the way you intend it to be, mm-hmm. but the foundation of the family is the mother, the father, and the children.
Right.
So men are, in the Bible, you know, they still considered head of the house. Mm-hmm. And so we are supposed to support our men, right?
Yes.
So what we're going to have to do is try to find ways to empower our men. Because when a man feels insufficient or perhaps he feels emasculated, he may turn to drugs, he may turn to drinking, and then his girlfriend, his wife, or the mother of his children, she gets upset. And it's just a whole total destruction.
Right.
So we're going to have to concentrate on empowering our men through entrepreneurship.
Okay.
And, yeah, things like that. I could see that working very well.
Okay. All right. Now, I know you touched on this already, but I'm just asking the questions because they sent it. All right. Good afternoon, Sanya. How are you? My one question for Dr. MacGyver is, how will she arrest this health crisis, because too many Bahamians are suffering from heart disease, kidney disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, and are suffering from other chronic illnesses. Most as a result of poor eating habits over the years. Also, a lot of Bahamians are having mild and severe heart attacks and strokes.
We're going to have to do a massive wellness program. Okay? Some Bahamians do not know how to eat healthy. Mm-hmm. And some who do know how to eat healthy cannot afford to eat healthy. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to do a massive drive in education in that way. And then also, too, we're going to have what we call the lab program, where I would assign a physician or a health advisor mm-hmm. to each Bahamian who want to enroll in the program. Mm-hmm. And you will come in for a free exam. So let's say a gentleman comes in and he's 45 mm-hmm. for his checkup. We do a blood work on him, check his blood pressure and everything. He may not even know he have high blood pressure. So we'll detect it early, and mm-hmm. that could save a life. So we're going to try preventive measures like that mm-hmm. by giving them free exams once a year. And then we're going to follow them up with that physician or that health advisor.
Okay.
We're going to have a wellness center. We're going to have a holistic center where we're going to introduce bush medicine that will help men and women, along with traditional medicine.
Okay, because I was just about to...
Yes.
Okay, you got ahead of me, Dr. MacGyver, because okay. I was just going to say, now, how is this different from NHI? How is this different from this? But you introduced
yes.
the traditional medicine, something that we have not tapped into, but that we know works. I have a friend right now. I mean, you know, she was battling. I got her some from the mobile pharma. This clove tea, this, that, and she had one awful mix with sarsi and orange, this and did with my friend put together. She didn't want to take it, but I could tell you one thing, she feel much better. She could speak right now. So introducing also traditional bush medicine as
yes.
well.
A lot of research has to go into bush medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a natural resource right there. We may discover something really valuable and we can sell to the rest of the world.
Right.
That's money into our sovereign wealth fund. We have to start thinking out of the box.
Okay. Okay, so another comment that came through, just reading everything, trying to get everything out, because we probably have like maybe about 5 minutes left. No one in politics cares. That's all the person. They have five words. No one in politics cares. That is how some people feel, that no one cares. I think we have a question.
Okay, well, my theme in Killarney is people over politics. And I understand what the lady said, and that's why a lot of people have apathy. A lot of people are telling me, man, dog, I voted, man, you see, in 50-something years, ain't nothing happening. We're going to make you so different. And, you know, it's very difficult. It's like you're talking to a woman who's been battered with right. three or four men, mm-hmm. and then the man look at her and say, but I can be different, honey. That's hard. That's hard to convince that woman.
Right.
But you have to just keep on going, and I ask them to just continue to pray. You know, because God is the one who changed the hearts and the minds of our people.
So, okay, I have a question, but I'm going to go ahead and let the caller go through. Brittany, put them through, please. Hello, caller.
Good afternoon, Stanley. Good afternoon to Dr. McGregor.
Good afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I heard you touch on immigration. I've been in the construction industry now for about 30 years. And in the past 2 years, I've never seen it so bad. If we continue in this trajectory, the Bahamian people can kiss this country goodbye. Mm-hmm. Most of the construction jobs I go on, I am the only Bahamian. I'm telling you. And
wow,
those people, those other cultures who are here, they support each other. There's a serious underground network going on.
Wow.
And I don't know how this election will turn out, but the two major parties, in my estimation, has not been doing a good job. It seems like there is an attempt to replace the Bahamians. And only hold on to those who are willing to support the party, these major parties, and whatever mess they wish to do. But I trust that you do well in your endeavors, but you'll be successful.
Thank you,
and
sir.
Any right-thinking woman in your constituency will vote for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
And, you know, he's saying what a lot of people are now saying. And let me tell you what I believe. I believe that this is a quiet revolution. This is a ground game. Everybody have to educate everybody else. Mommy tell uncle, uncle tell the niece tell the boyfriend tell the girlfriend, and we have to spread the message that way, because the media, I feel, isn't educating the people as best as they can, and the government is not forthcoming and being transparent. And so we're going to have to win this ourselves as the people.
So, Dr. MacGyver, you're in Killarney. You know, like I said, it's a visible constituency. It's a popular constituency. We have Ms. Barnett Ellis. We have Ms. Lines. We have you. We have Dr. Minnis. What sets you apart from, you know, from, because there's four candidates there.
Yes.
Why you, Dr. MacGyver? Why you?
Well, first of all, I've presented my vision plan already to the Killarney, right? People are looking for people of integrity. Mm-hmm. They're looking for people admire, people who have been in business and successful. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think that I'm fairly successful in business, mm-hmm. and I have a good acumen. And what I would want for Killarney, I am not focused on my competitors so much. You know, like the horse with the little bridle. What they
right.
call that thing on there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my eye
right now.
Yeah, my eyes on the finish line.
Right.
Because I've got to get in the House of Assembly. I would like to go in as the Deputy Prime Minister.
Right.
But should God have it that I'm not the Deputy Prime Minister and just a Member of Parliament, I need to go in there to put feet to the fire of anybody
mm-hmm.
who can be the government if we are not the government. But I am hopeful and faithful that I will walk in as the Deputy Prime Minister and make some major changes in this country, Stania.
Well, y'all, I can tell you this. I know she's going to hold people accountable, because listen now, y'all. I was supposed to call Dr. MacGyver back. I almost get all spine come y'all. Listen, I say, Lord, what I do now?
Yeah.
Right, so I know this woman is no joke. Yeah. She's not playing at all. And that's a question too, Dr. MacGyver. You're doing okay. You know, you have other things you could focus on. Why you want to mix yourself up in this dirty game of politics? Why you enter and at this stage of your life? Why?
I believe this is a God calling. That's what I believe, because I did not see myself in this capacity 5 years ago.
Okay.
I don't even consider myself a politician. I am not a politician. I am a Bahamian woman who loved this country, and I got tired of seeing what I seeing. And just like the callers who call in,
right.
I'm just like them. I step forward. I have a voice, and I'm going to use my voice to help everybody who called in to this show today.
All right. Okay, so election has been called. We know the date. What's COI going to do? Y'all having rallies? Y'all having what
yeah,
y'all doing?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, we can have our rally. Don't worry. And we can go to different parks.
Okay.
We're going to go to different communities. But we are going to have our major rally. So okay. Look out for it.
Okay, guys. And one last text message before we end. Okay, you see, Lord, now y'all just want to send me message now. Okay, here we go. Good day, boy. I wish Dr. MacGyver was running in my area. Okay. All right, that's all right, but you got one. You got a COI running in the area. Go vote for them. Okay, we got, I would vote for you in Kalani. Oh, see, this it come up now. Oh, here we go. I would vote for you in Kalani if you get a new leader. That's what somebody just said.
People should vote according to the quality of the candidate, because when that candidate goes in parliament, they are the ones who are going to help effect policy changes and make legislation. So you want a candidate who have the same views as you. And so I let that contaminate who you vote for.
Okay.
Yes.
Next comment. I like Dr. MacGyver plan. I like her plan for immigration. All right. Okay. Like I said, they're feeling you. They're feeling you.
Yes.
Okay, guys, listen. It's 2:30. I don't want the white message me. He done messaged me, tell me I need to speak. I'm into the mic. I got to get on out of here. Dr. MacGyver got to go. I'm sure she's hitting the road. You know, the other day, I said, Dr. MacGyver, I come so we could go over. Now, Sanya, I got things to do. I got to go get a bed. I got this,
yes,
this,
yes.
The woman is busy. The woman has things to do, and she's ready, guys. So we want to wish you the best, and good luck.
Thank you very much, Tanya, for having me and for letting me have a voice in the Bahamas.
And once again, if persons want to find you, I think you're very visible, but just say where
yes,
you are
opposite,
again.
My headquarters is opposite Starbucks and Social House.
Right. Cable Beach.
In Cable Beach, just near that roundabout. And the number is 831-0070.
Okay, say it one more time.
831-0070.
Okay.
My secretary will answer the phone.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I suspect if you want to get involved in the COI, I guess would direct them to headquarters?
Yes, yes.
All right.
Well, we have a main headquarters, you know, opposite the Fish Fry. That's
right.
For the national.
Yes.
But if they're in the Killarney constituency, that's my headquarters opposite Starbucks.
Okay, I got one last question for true
yes.
for true before
true,
the white
true,
message
true,
me.
True.
So now you could pick either one. If your mom or dad was looking at you right now, what do you think they would say?
They would be proud of me.
So you what would mommy say or what would daddy say?
They would say, wow, you've made it to dental school, that was hard, and now look what you're doing now. You're here helping the people of the Bahamas. I think they would be proud to know that both were challenging, but it can be accomplished.
Okay, guys, so there it is, Dr. MacGyver, and I'm going to coin her. She's the lady of first. So we'll see what happens, guys. Have a good Saturday. I'm out of here.
The following is a paid political message.
For you.
That was a paid political message.
This